Before I get started there, I do want to mention it's good to see my daughter and son-in-law. Yeah. I say son-in-law. My daughter's son-in-law. My beautiful grandbaby. We've had a great time spoiling her, and I'm surprised she has any cheeks left. We've kissed them so much. But she's got plenty of cheeks to spare, I think. That is for sure. It's great seeing them today. All right. 400 years of silence ends with angelic appearances and divine conception and the birth of Christ. After 400 years of silence, a flurry of prophetic action occurs. Prophecies that had been thousands of years old were fulfilled. Virgin Mary was with child conceived with the Holy Ghost. And an angel appears unto Joseph in a dream with words of encouragement, with words of hope. And then the fulfillment of prophecy we see here again in verses 22 and 23. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you again for our time here today. Thank you for the privilege that we have to serve you, Lord. I thank you for the privilege that we have that we can come and worship you today. Lord, I thank you for the privilege that we have to spend time not only in song and in prayer, but then in the preaching of your word. So, Lord, I pray that you will fill me with your Spirit. Lord, I pray that you would speak through me today. I pray that Christ would be exalted. I pray that as we go through this month, we would not forget that Jesus is the reason for the season. As Brother Denny talked about, we can get so much in the hustle bustle of trying to get arrangements to travel, to see family, and purchase gifts and shopping and all that. But Lord, I pray that we would just take some time this month and just thank you for sending Jesus. So Lord, as we continue to spend time in your word today, I pray that we would focus on another man today. A man that I think a lot of times might be a little overlooked. And so Lord, I thank you for your word and that we can come and glean from it today. And Lord, I pray that you'd be glorified by everything that is said behind this pulpit today. We love you and thank you. We say this in Jesus' name. Amen. If my voice sounds a little funny, please bear with me. I don't think it's a cold. I think it's an allergy thing. Yesterday was pretty rough. So I praise the Lord that he felt a little bit better today. So please pray for me as I continue here. You know, when you think about it, much focus was made on Mary in this historic story, but, you know, deservingly so. You know, Angel Gabriel came and said that she was highly favored in the eyes of God. So yes, it's deserving that a lot of the focus is on Mary in this incredible, divine, prophetic story, but I think we need to take a look at someone else today who played a major role in the fulfillment of this prophecy, and that is Joseph. You know, I think a lot of times I'm trying to speak too bitterly here, but, you know, Mother's Day comes, you know, and the flowers and take mom out to dinner and all that. And then Father's Day comes and we get a flashing tie. Right, dads? I'm not bitter or anything, though. But when you think about it, you know, Joseph a lot of times I think is overlooked when we think about his principal character, an important part in this sacred scene, and I don't believe he should be left out. He played a vital role in the fulfillment of this prophecy. So first we're going to look at the man, if you're following along in the outline here, looking at verses 18 through 20. It says, Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. You know, Joseph was a just and merciful man, and we see this very vividly and specifically here in the fact that he did not look to make Mary a public example. I mean, think about us a lot of times, men, in our pride, how we may have reacted to find out that our fiance was pregnant, knowing that it wasn't us. You know, how gracious would we have been? How merciful. So we really see this incredible character by this man here, and by the fact that he did not look to make her a public example, but that he put her away privately. Think about this. Joseph's world was crashing in at this news. You know, today it's not a big deal, is it, for a child to be born out of wedlock? It happens probably more often than a child born in wedlock nowadays. So it wasn't, nowadays it's not a big deal, but at this particular time, Joseph's world was crashing in. He was betrothed to Mary. They were engaged. And when you think about that, you know, engagement today is special. It's usually between the man and the woman, and the man, you know, goes down on one knee usually and asks her, and she says yes, and they cry and throws a ring on her finger. But even then, it was even more so then because there were witnesses involved. There were pledged words that were given. More times than not, there may have been money exchanged or a gift exchanged or maybe livestock from the man to the bride's father. I'm glad to see that some traditions really never cease or never fail. When my brother or my son-in-law Jake here asked for my blessing to marry my daughter, he came bearing gifts. Smart guy, isn't he? Well, as I was thinking about that, I thought, I don't have a Penguins mug. Young man, I have another daughter. She's not here, so I'm not in trouble now. Of course, Jake will tell her. But this was a very serious thing. Obviously, it was important that Mary was a virgin before their marriage, but then obviously it was important that she was faithful before their marriage. So we see here that Joseph handled the situation and really showed his character. Really showed that he was a just man. When you look at character, character is defined as this: the mental or moral qualities distinctive to an individual. Worded a different way here, it's basically the features that make up and distinguish an individual from others or from other personality traits. So it's basically those qualities that make up or separate an individual, whether it's a good character trait or a bad character trait. Now in verse 19 here, we see that Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. Well, the word just there in the Greek is dikaios. Dikaios, which basically means being upright, virtuous, righteous, keeping the commandments of God, but then also just in the eyes of God. We see that about Noah as well, another man that was called a just man. So go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. Excuse me. Genesis chapter 6, starting in verse 6. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. You know, I think Job is another one that probably falls under this category as a just man. In Job 1:1, it says, there was a man of the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that he was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. You know, not many were actually called just in the Word of God, but I believe there are many men that fell under these qualifications as being just men. They just weren't referred to specifically as just. But I think that says a lot about Joseph here. That Joseph was referred to as a just man, a man that was keeping the commandments of God, that he was upright and righteous and virtuous, just in the eyes of God. That says a lot about Joseph here. And my prayer is that today, as believers at Grace Bible Church, that'll be something that we desire today. That we desire to be right or just in the eyes of God. That we strive to live upright and virtuous and righteous before God. You know, it says a lot that Joseph was considered a just man by the Lord. And we see this by his decision here with Mary. Note this. This was before the appearance of the angel in his dream. Now think about that for a second. It might have been a lot easier for us in our flesh and men in our pride to maybe handle it this way after we had the angel appear in our dream. But he did this before. So really, we can really see what kind of man Joseph was, and that he was a just man, and he was just in the eyes of God, and that he was upright and virtuous, and he had godly character. Because this decision was made before the appearing of the angel, or of course the angel in his dream. You know, God had a message for Joseph in this hour of trouble. But also we see here that Joseph was not a wealthy man. Turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Starting in verse 21. Luke chapter 2 and verse 21, it says that when the 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. You know, that wasn't a sacrifice that would be made of someone that was wealthy. You know, we also see that he was of the house and lineage of David, which would later take him to Bethlehem after the Roman Empire got involved in this miracle through the taxing of Caesar Augustus. But next we see the message. We see the message going back to our text. Looking at verses 20 and 21. It says, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And he shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now notice there at the beginning, verse 20, "But while he thought on these things." I probably would come to think that to the extent where Joseph's world was just shattered by this news, I bet he couldn't think of much else. I bet he had a hard time thinking of a whole lot else. You ever have something that weighed so heavily on your heart and on your mind that you just couldn't think of anything else? You know, maybe it's financial difficulties. Maybe it's, the health of a family member. All these different things that can pop up in our lives that can cause us to think, get to where we can't think of anything else. We can't sleep. We can't eat. We can't focus on the smallest things. I kind of have a feeling that that's kind of where Joseph was here. That he had a hard time thinking of much else. But yet Joseph at this point is thinking about Mary and this very serious situation that he was in. But Joseph received a message. God had a message for Joseph in this hour of trouble. I'm going to read verse 20 again because I don't know if you do that when you read the Word of God, is really try to put yourself where the people are and what they've been thinking and feeling. Verse 20, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." Can you imagine Joseph's reaction? Yes, I knew that she loved me. I knew that she wouldn't do this treacherous act. I can't imagine the relief that he must have felt in this moment. "Joseph, thou son of David, fear not, because that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." You know, what seemed to be sinful was now sanctified. What had seemed to surely cause death now brought deliverance. What was sure to ruin Mary's good name now immortalized it. You know, it was a blessed message that I'm sure that when Joseph thought, he probably thought his dreams were shattered, his dreams were over, but these dreams were now revitalized with this blessed message that he received. A message that brought Joseph hope would ultimately be the same message that would bring hope for all mankind. I appreciated Pastor Herm last night as he did the meditation and shared some things that were important to the Christmas story, some things that they saw on their trip to Israel. And hopefully you're planning on sticking around for the adult Sunday school hour. I'm sure that is going to be a blessing. But as he finished his meditation, he just talked about hope. And the hope that we have as believers because of this miracle. Because Jesus came to this world and He was God and He was man. And as believers today, I wonder, and many of you probably wonder, how the world does it. How does the world do it day by day, tribulation and trial and all the things that they go through without the blessed hope that we have in Jesus Christ? How do they do it? Well, I think it's probably obvious how they do it, and the bars are pretty full on Saturday night. And Monday night and Tuesday night and Wednesday night and Thursday night, you know? Because they don't have it. Their hope comes in a bottle or in a drug. But we have that blessed hope that the Messiah came. Now, what I appreciated here is the fact that Joseph was listening. And I think about messages that we get from God. And sometimes we get messages from the preaching of the Word of God, or maybe it's the teaching of the Word of God, or maybe it's in our devotional life or our study, that are then solidified by the Holy Spirit. And I wonder how often we go through our lives maybe not listening to the messages that God wants to give us in our lives each and every day. Joseph was no special man. He wasn't anybody. You know, he was just. He was, obviously, we talked about, he was virtuous and upright and just in the eyes of God. But are we quiet enough in our lives to be listening to the messages that we get from the Word of God and from His Spirit? We should be doing that. We should be listening in our lives. Third, we're going to look at the miracle. The miracle. Starting back at verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted as God with us. And then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. You know, he witnessed this miracle in the birth of Jesus. Joseph traveled this pregnant Mary to Bethlehem and found themselves in a manger, as we know, because there was no room in the inn. And Joseph watched the Savior be born after being conceived of the Holy Ghost. And I think any time any man here that has been in the delivery room while their wife gives birth to their children, it's a pretty miraculous thing. And don't be wrong, ladies, I'm not taking anything. Mother's Day, we're going to still give you flowers. We're still going to take you out. Trust me. I know. I'm glad it's not me. And all the women are like, amen, you should be glad it's not you. But anyone who has been in the delivery room while their children have been born, and I was in the delivery room for all mine, and it's a miraculous thing to see your child be brought into this world. Now think about Joseph here. He was watching the Savior of the world be born. He was watching this amazing miracle as he was watching God be born in the flesh. Emmanuel was born, as we read here, means God with us. God became man. Now, of course, the theological term is the incarnation, where God became flesh. But he got to witness this incredible miracle of God being born. And the birth of this child was the birth of the Savior that was sent to save all mankind from their sins. And I don't know if he maybe knew the magnitude of that at that particular moment. I always appreciate the when Jesus was 12 and he was ministering, and Jesus, what, we've been worried about you. Don't you see, I'm about my Father's business. Kind of sets him straight there. So I don't know at what point he really realizes the magnitude. Obviously, you know, you're talking about a miraculous birth where she was conceived of the Holy Ghost. And that's magnificent in its own right. But I don't know at that point if they realized that they just witnessed the one that would save all mankind from their sins. What an incredible miracle they witnessed. But also that it would give hope to all those that put their faith in Christ. Hope's a pretty amazing thing, isn't it? Hope's an amazing thing. You think about hope that the world has, and kind of different than the hope that we have, isn't it? That absolute confidence. That absolute assurance that we know God's in control. Whatever happens in our lives, whatever we go through, God's in control. We know that when we pass on, we know we're going to spend eternity. We have a hope this world doesn't have. And that being said, listen, the Christmas season, Pastor Dave talked about taking tracts. We have a whole bunch back there. I just filled them up. Just filled them up the other day, and we have a bunch upstairs. Utilize the Christmas season to tell people about Jesus. Because I'll guarantee you, the person behind the register at Kohl's or wherever you go, they probably don't have the same hope that we have. And all you're doing by handing them tracts, listen, I want to share with you hope this Christmas season. Just please read that. That wasn't hard. That wasn't painful. I didn't get shot. Share the hope of Jesus during this season. We see here that this miraculous birth was the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies. Many prophecies that were thousands and thousands of years old that were fulfilled in this miraculous birth. Isaiah 7:14, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." I heard a statistic, and I wish I would have looked it up. Thought just came to me. What the odds had to have been for these prophecies that were thousands of years old to be fulfilled in the life of Jesus Christ, and it was some astronomical number. Share that with people. You know, we see the absolute necessity of the virgin birth of Christ. And I can tell you one thing, that's challenged today. The virgin birth of Christ is even challenged today by many churches. We cannot lose that. That is God in the flesh. He was the spotless Lamb of God. And this miraculous birth makes possible the new birth. So don't let anybody challenge you about the virgin birth. It's quite here in Scripture. It's plain as day. It's black and white. That Jesus Christ was of God. He was God. He was conceived of the Holy Ghost. Joseph had no part in that. He had an important part in Jesus' life. But Jesus was conceived of the Holy Ghost. We cannot lose the necessity of the virgin birth of Christ. Because his miraculous birth not only shows that he's the spotless Lamb as he was God and man, but it also makes possible the new birth. That spiritual birth that we have in Christ. You know, Joseph, this just and merciful man, heard and answered an angelic message. And he witnessed a miraculous birth. And my prayer is that we never lose sight or give credit to this just man when we think about the Christmas season. Let's pray. Dear Lord,